You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena, Desley Simpson, how's it going?
Really well, funny. How are things with you?
Are you good? I was just doing a quick Google to try and figure out how big 5.63 hectares is in the background. That's why I was kind of caught off guard there. But this morning, we've got a couple of news articles to get through in regards to what's going on around Tamaki Makaurau. So let's start with recovery from that big rainstorm in 2023. Now, Ahuroa Road in Puhoe has been fully repaired after 20 months with significant investment in engineering around the road. It's great to have those rural communities sort of reconnected back to the outside world. But many residents in the Waitakere Ranges are still dealing with damaged roads and slips over a year after the storms. Can you explain why the recovery has taken so long and whether funding constraints have played a role in the delays out in the Waitakes?
Yeah, look, if you back the truck up, we had over 2,000 slips on the road reserve. I mean, that was a huge amount. We did the majority of them pretty quickly. There was about 1,200 of them we got onto pretty quickly. But of the kind of 800 ones that were more complex, that's taken a bit of time. We're 81% of the way through. That's as of the end of February. We sort of get a bit of a monthly update, so we haven't got to the end of March yet. But by the end of February, we were 81% of the way through. But we do have some real big ones that are still outstanding. And I think it's fair to say that they are in the Waitakere Ranges, a lot of them. And I think, you know, the road resort, it seems simple. You've got a road, you just fix it up, right? But it's a whole lot more complex than that. You've got a whole lot of services that need to be reallocated. So it's not just the road, it's power lines, internet, water, gas. And it's actually working with those other providers to make sure that the works are all coordinated at the same time. And then we have quite a bit of groundwater in the Waitakes that we need to worry about and work around that. And then, of course, it's just the size of the structural repair to future-proof it. So, you know, you've got piles on some of those roads in the Waitakes. You know, take Scenic Drive, for example, near the Arataki Visitor Centre. I mean, you've got a retaining wall there with piles up to 20 metres in length, you know, and that'll be the last repair on the Scenic Drive that needs to be repaired before, you know, that section, before the section of the road can be reopened. So you're talking huge amounts of structural engineering that is required as well. You've got Huia Road out there. I mean, there were 5 slips on that road.
Mountain Road as well, I think, is being pretty washed out. Now, but obviously there's a bit of
11 slips, yes.
There is a level of resident frustration with some of the residents that are out in those rural or isolated communities feel like they've been left behind in the recovery effort. What do you say to those who feel Auckland Council hasn't acted fast enough in their areas?
I feel for them. I think we all feel for them. I think Auckland feels for them, right? But at the end of the day, we've had to be really careful how we've engineered those repairs. If we had only repaired the road as it was, it would have all happened again.
Yes.
And I think my message is, look, please bear with us. I know it's frustrating, but actually what we hope to have achieved by our repairs is that should we have bad weather events again, and I won't say should we because we will, right, that those roads will stand up to weather events. And that's what we want. We want to future-proof our repairs, not just repair it to as it was. And that takes a huge amount of money and cost. I mean, just look at the money. I mean, we're talking about, I think we spent like $270 million already, and just on some of them, not all of them. So
yes,
it's a huge amount of money. So I suppose they get assurance that there is a significant amount of money being spent in the hood that won't just repair, but will future-proof these roads and so help prevent the damage occurring again.
Now, Desley, moving on to the Auckland Stadium network, the landscape as far as stadiums is going is under or is looking to have significant changes. What are your stances on the proposed 3 types of stadiums that we need? Apparently we need a main stadium with a 30,000 to 60,000 capacity, a medium stadium with 10,000 to 25,000 and a new boutique stadium with 8,000 to 10,000, with Mount Smart becoming the medium-sized one, potentially homing both the Blues and the Warriors, and Western Springs possibly becoming a soccer stadium or a football stadium.
Well, look, yeah, the stadium network's been an issue ever since council was formed way back in 2010, and the facilities are changing, and we need to future-proof it, you know, future-proof the whole stadium debate going forward. It is complex, you're quite right. We do need the big stuff, we need the middle stuff, we need the smaller stuff, and we need to make sure that Auckland as a region has access to those stadiums, no matter whether you're up north or down south. I think what I can tell you, and a lot of this has been kind of working through a bit of commercial sensitivity around that, but what I can tell you is both council and Tātaki, who actually do have a lot of responsibility, that's Tātaki Auckland Unlimited as a CCO, have a responsibility for some of our stadiums. They've got a process and initiatives underway to support the stadium network for Auckland. On the big stuff, the feasibility studies finding from both Eden Park Trust Board and the Key Park Waterfront Stadium will be presented to the governing body at the end of this month.
What are the primary factors that will influence a decision whether Auckland moves to upgrade Eden Park or build a brand new downtown stadium of the same scale?
Well, that feasibility study of both those stadiums will be presented at the end of this month. You know, that paper will highlight you know, where we sit with both those options, and hopefully we can get a decision this month on that.
And obviously this weekend is the last weekend of Speedway at Western Springs, which has been a contentious decision to move them out to Waikaraka Park. What steps has the council taken to ensure that future decisions are made transparently with full stakeholder engagement for those people that are feeling that some of this was done perhaps without full transparency?
I think it's important for all our decisions to have a high level of transparency and accountability. And there have been some concerns around those decisions, and those concerns are being looked into, and there will be a report around that. And I think it's important to be very open with Aucklanders once that report comes out as to what's happened and how and why, and, you know, be really open about that.
Yes. Now, onto some really good news. Auckland has got a new park. Auckland philanthropist Rosemary Platt has gifted 5.63 hectares, which I was just trying to Google and figure out how large it was, of, I guess, what is it, a family property in Greenhithe to Aucklanders? Can you tell us about the site and what the future of it is?
Look, this is incredibly generous of the Platt family. I mean, ultimately, they both, Rosemary and her husband Graham, bought the site back in the 80s, early 80s. It's in Greenhithe on the North Shore, right? And they created a bit of a nursery there themselves, where they convincing sort of gardeners to plant natives, and they were a supplier there for the Auckland Botanic Gardens, which is down in Manurewa. And they opened a native plant nursery on site in the 70s as well. So it became a popular supply of quality native plants. I mean, what's really special about this, they've got grown a huge forest from the seed of Tane Mahuta, which is New Zealand's largest living tree. And it's also got the home of a genetic replica of the famous Kauri tree there. So it's pretty blooming special. It's worth about $10 million. But most importantly, it's going to now be open to all of Aucklanders. So we're going to turn it into a regional park, and it will have development of that around the same sort of process like the Auckland Botanical Gardens, and it will have, you know, toilets and all the, you know, parking and all the things that people can come and have a look at it. We're working with local iwi, Te Karawa Māki, and Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei on it as well, and it's just going to be a long-term fantastic asset for Aucklanders to really appreciate nature, see the native trees, walk through it, And in a time of intensification and high builds, as all cities do as they grow, these kinds of things are so incredibly valuable looking forward. You know, it could have been sold, it could have been turned into housing, and this actual gift back to Auckland for a long-term new regional park is, I think, an outstanding asset and gift by the Platt family, and Aucklanders, I'm sure, are eternally grateful.
Excellent. Do we have any idea when the public will have access to it?
Oh, we've just got to do some work around getting it ready for public access, as I said, providing facilities and that kind of stuff. But I think everyone's got the objective of doing it as soon as possible. It's the most wonderful open space.
Yes.
It's just great.
Excellent. Hey, Desley, Auckland Deputy Mayor, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, and we'll look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks.
No worries. Thanks, Johnny. Have a good one.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.